Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We are back on the right side of midnight tonight. I'm seeing 11:59.
We did it.
Top right corner of my computer. We did it.
So much earlier. Thanks. So much earlier.
Thanks. If you're joining us live here on Flight Plan, day two of the NFL draft. It is still day two. We haven't crossed that threshold just yet. The Jets entered with one pick. They left with one player. They did make a trade. We'll talk about that. They picked up a fourth rounder along the way. The player, D'Angelo Pons, which I think is exciting. We'll get into it. Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt and Paul Kilgallen. Please like the show wherever you're watching. Give us a five-star review. We do have some baggage handlers here. Great job, guys. Great job for hanging in with us. We're going to talk about D'Angelo. We'll talk about the cornerback room. We'll talk about where he kind of fits into this defense. We'll look ahead a little bit to round three or day three as well. We hung out and we waited this out because the Jets didn't call it. There were times, you know, it's each regime, right? Like different staffs. Yeah. Like there's been times in the past where it was clear they weren't, a team wasn't going to trade back in, and they have the press conference. You move on with your day. Apparently this Muji and Glenn team likes to wait it out, wait till the end. They did not trade back in, but we waited it out as well. And here we are. So Zach, how you doing? Because you're not at home. At least I'm at home and Paul's at home. We can go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even at home yet.
I mean, at least there's the one thing I like about how late this is there's no traffic leaving Florham Park when I leave here. So I get home pretty efficiently, I would say, but it's funny. Muji, I think he did this last year too. He walked into the room at the end. He said, "Oh, you guys are all still here. Like, yeah, where do you think we're going, man?
Sure.
We're waiting for you." And then we were like, "Hey, you know, if you want to trade the seventh round picks before tomorrow, like, we wouldn't hate that." He's like, "We could, you know, I've said we could do it over Zoom." And we're all like, no, man, we got to be here. So, you know, got to do that. But it's just funny because he's just like, "Oh, why are you guys here? You got, it's late. Like, go to bed."
Don't you have families?
But, yeah, you know,
he's the same way with you guys as he is on camera, huh?
he's like a normal guy. Like I Muji is who he is at all times. I would say like he is somebody that you could talk to about like anything, and he's like a good like shoot the breeze kind of guy. But yeah, I'd say not like my favorite outcome. Like if they weren't going to talk until after the third round, it honestly might as well have just traded back into the third round and given us something else to do in that time.
Like right.
I made an appearance on the Athletic Football Show. It didn't last as long as I was hoping. I was literally like, I got off that and I was getting ready to text you or Will and be like, "You guys still streaming? I'd love to pop on board," but you guys were done at that point. So, I was just killing time here, trying to find out what they were doing, like who was going to be on the board. Some interesting guys fell, but ultimately, like, and we'll get into Pods in a second, but I absolutely love that pick. I imagine Paul does too, especially at the spot where they got it, especially getting another fourth round pick out of it. But, you know, they've added four guys. If we just want to speak broad strokes briefly, like they've added four guys that should play significant roles for them in 2026. And that was a very important thing in this draft. They needed to come out of this with guys that are going to plug into the depth chart and play significant roles, because they don't have enough guys that I can point them to on this roster and be like, he should be a no doubt starter. Like there's not that many of them. So I think you can feel really, really good. It seems like nationally the reception has been pretty positive to the Jets draft. I've seen some sites, a site that I never heard of, seem to have a decent amount of followers. Like they have they have like four of our top 10 prospects, and this is one of the best drafts we've ever seen. Like, I don't know about that.
But, four of the top 10 is interesting.
I just saw that kept coming up on my For You page on Twitter. I'm like, all right, it's very positive Jets algorithm right now, I guess. But I think just as, you know, not a fan, I would say, I think it's been a draft that maybe it's not like the most exciting draft class. I think this pick maybe is more exciting today. Like, but I think it's just a solid draft. Like, a, you know, it's okay to have a solid draft. And I think you should feel pretty good about like the floor of all. The whole theme of this offseason has been raising the floor. And I feel like this draft raised the floor some more. Like, I don't know if the ceiling is higher, but the floor is raised.
It's so weird when, or I'm sorry, not so weird, but like, you always talk, you go through the pre-draft and there's always random guys and you're like, oh, that's an obvious pick. Like, that's the clear guy. He's like a perfect fit for the coaching staff. Yeah, yeah. And everybody talks about him and like, you get him in at this pick and all this chatter. And it never actually happens. But Paul, it happened. Like, everybody's been talking about Pons as like, he could be a guy at 44, blah, 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 blah. And here he is at 50 and they do get him.
It almost felt like it made like too much sense. Yeah, like, yeah. To the point where
that's
it
was why you
like,
talk yourself out of it. Yeah,
exactly. Like you talked about it so much that you were like, there's no way this is going to happen. Like, the Jets always zag when we think they're going to zig. Like, there's no way that they're actually going to do this. And then, you know, you see it all kind of develop and play out the way it did. I don't know if I'm 100% convinced that they weren't at least semi-interested in Rodriguez at 44. Like, I think that's probably part of what the trade back was, but I loved where it landed. And then you see like the war room video of them kind of flipping out and, you know,
that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Muji pointing to the screen and saying Aaron Glenn, cause he was the comp on NFL Network and all that. And yeah, I mean, it's nice it's nice to get one every once in a while, you know what I mean? And so this is a very much another personality pick. That's one of the common threads, I think, with the first four, is that they're all very much kind of, and I know Jets fans are tired of hearing culture, but like culture guys, personality picks, whatever you want to call it, good dudes is a good way to put it. And you know, I think even like this kind of bucked the analytics trend like a little bit because of his height, but that's really the only bad word you can find about D'Angelo Pons on the internet by anybody who is actually paying close attention to football is his height. Everything else is positive.
It's crazy. It really is. Like, if you look at his scouting reports and negatives, it's only like kind of based around the height. Like, there's like some small things, but it's honestly pretty wild. And yeah, sorry to cut you off, but like, I just, the more I read into him and talk to people, like it really just feels like, if he's 5'10", like, he's probably a first round pick. Like, it's really just like he's not like particularly long either. And he's not like bulk. I mean, I think he's strong, but he's not like, he doesn't weigh a lot. So like, it's not like he is like Malachi Corley was short, but like really like bulky, you know? So but the point being, like, all the measurables, all the athleticism, all the film, all the stats, all the evidence is that he's very good, but in the modern NFL, like, teams have a hard time drafting guys who are that short. So if it doesn't work out, it'll be because of that or of like bad luck, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's a player to be excited about. Cause I mean, the way you saw the way they were, how happy they were in the room, even beyond the Aaron Glenn comparison and all that stuff. Like, you reread everything about him, like the way he hits like a guy who's not that size. The Ty Simpson hit is the big one. He makes plays on the ball. I think he had some like 35 pass deflections over the last 3 years, including JMU. I think he had 7 interceptions over 3 years. Good against the run. The Jets want to play him inside and outside. Like, yeah, I just think he makes so much sense. And it's not like they had a nickel corner that is a no doubt guy. Out of all their corners, I'd say Jarvis Brownlee was probably the most wobbly, if that's the right, wobbliest. I don't know. I don't know if Pons is going to be a full-time nickel, but I feel better about him than I do about, honestly, like, future wise. Like, if you're going to ask me who's going to be a starting corner for the Jets in 2028, D'Angelo Pons is probably the favorite right now.
Yeah. And they said they said outright that he's going to play outside, he's going to play inside, he's going to do a little bit of everything. One of the only knocks that we had against Pons in our scouting report was just that he doesn't have a ton of experience playing in the slot. Like, not that he can't, not that he won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that he doesn't have a ton of reps doing it. And I think, we all fell in love with Brownlee pretty quickly last year. And part of that, I think, was a function of being so starved for players who appeared like they gave a shit for a long time. And like, he stepped right in and he was playing physical and aggressive. And it was a quick key to everybody's hearts. But you step back a little bit. The season's been over for a little while. The emotion calms down and you're like, all right, well, he played like 4 or 5 games. He was hurt a bunch. He got a bunch of holding penalties on third downs. And you're like,
and okay, that was his rep. also.
Yeah, so like, exactly. And so you get yourself to a point where you're like, all right, well, Nickel isn't actually solved. Like it was fun for a couple of weeks, but it's not really solved. And there's a question in the chat about what does this mean for Minka? And I think it just gives the coaches an insane amount of flexibility where they probably don't have to take a safety now. So I started to wonder, like, will Brownlee float back and play safety? Does it allow Stevens to go back and play safety? There are multiple players in this secondary who have positional flexibility. And now you have the freedom to do that because you have an abundance of bodies that you can kind of move around into different spots.
Yeah, I would say, I think we're going to find out just how creative Aaron Glenn can be as a play caller. Like you have the maneuverability, especially on the back end, like maybe not as much like versatility on the front, but I'm referring to him as a nickel. He might wind up being an outside corner in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I actually like this comparison. I hadn't thought of Slow Runner 14 in our chat said he reminds me of DJ Reed. I don't know, like in terms of skill set, how similar they are, but like you kind of forget that DJ Reed is smaller. Like he played much bigger than his size. He was really scrappy, great tackler. Like I feel like as time has gone on, I feel like people, I don't know if they've forgotten how good he was, especially that first year that he was here. Like he was really good. You know, I mean, he had that game against the Ravens and his very first game where he just found out his dad died and all that stuff, like that kind of grit that he played with. I could see that with D'Angelo Pons. And so would it shock me if D'Angelo is a starting outside corner for the Jets this year? Like it honestly wouldn't, because like, okay, you lock in Brandon Stevens, probably. I think that's probably safe to say as like one of the outside corners. AZ Thomas, I think he showed some promise and I think they like his potential. He was always raw when they drafted him. He was too hurt last year to really like bank anything on him. Nashawn Wright, 5 interceptions last year, huge guy, but the Jets got him for like $2.5 million. So like that's not really starting corner money. So there's an opportunity for Pons to walk in and be a starter on day one. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to be going against some pretty good receivers, including one of his buddies, Omar Cooper. Mm-hmm. Kind of funny that in the year 2026, like if you had said 5 years ago, like this many Indiana players to get drafted this early, like that's
the next thing I had in my little rundown here is I was going to say the Jets rebirth will be fueled by the University of Indiana. It's kind of fitting, to be honest.
One of my favorite day three outcomes is that they draft Elijah Surratt too, and just keep like rolling in the Indiana guys.
I got him on my short list here for the next couple of picks. I mean, look, like you guys were poking around in the press conference. I heard you about like, you know, not only is it championship pedigree and winning program and all that, but it's players who witnessed a turnaround, who were there for part of it. They created the turnaround. Yeah. They made it happen. And you guys, I think, were trying to get a good soundbite out of that. They didn't really give it to you, but I felt what you were putting down there. And so,
happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good buddy of mine who's an IU fan in North Jersey. He's not an IU alum. I don't really understand why or what the originality of that is, but he was juiced up about it. He's a Giants fan. He's not even a Jets fan, but he texted me, Pons has the heart of a lion. He was pumped about Cooper last night. So, like, again, to go back to what I said before, nobody's going to say a bad word about this kid. And if you can get DJ Reed out of pick 50, like, I think everybody's cool with that. I think people forget about DJ Reed because it ended a little poorly between us and him.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Some not great words on the way out the door. But other than that, like I think everybody would accept that level of player for sure.
I would say DJ was one of my favorites to cover because of one of the reasons that the fans wound up not liking him at the end, I would say, because he just kind of said what he was thinking a lot. Mm-hmm. Like he had the thing where he talked crap about Justin Jefferson after a Vikings game and it like that like blew up where he's like, I shut him down when I covered him. And Justin Jefferson was like, what are you talking about, bro? I just like love that like brashness. Like you need that as a corner to be good in the NFL. So I don't know if D'Angelo has that. We'll find out. He seemed pretty, I mean, it was his first press conference. It was via Zoom. So I try not to really, you know, draw.
You got the first question. I heard that.
I did. Someone needs to break the ice. It's always, I don't like doing the first question because it's usually not going to get a good answer. But like, if everybody's awkwardly sitting there, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to break the ice. So I wind up doing that a lot of the times, especially on the Zoom calls, because everybody's waiting for somebody else to start it off. But yeah, like I think every draft, there's like one guy that I think the fan base is universally like hyped about. I feel like last year, AZ Thomas might have been him. I can't think because people were mad about Arian Smith. They were mad about Tyler Barron. There wasn't really anyone else that exciting. I feel like AZ Thomas was the one last year, but this one even more so. Like, I don't think anybody's going to say anything bad about this pick. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but like, we all thought they were going to draft a corner. He was at or near the top of all of our lists. I mean, we talked about him a bunch on this podcast, including with Nick. And I don't think it was probably too early to talk about him with Dane back when we had Dane on. But yeah, it's my favorite pick they've made so far. Frankly, I think it's the best value they've probably gotten. I mean, it's probably around what his value was, I guess, because he probably ranked. I think Dane had him at like 36 or something like that, 38. He went 50, so pretty good value, but not like, you know, I guess not amazing value. But yeah, I just really liked him. I think there were other corners on the board, especially at 44. I think Brandon Sis, or however you say it, was still there. I mean, Jermaine McCoy is still on the board, which is crazy. Colton Hood went to the Giants. They traded up to get him. No, they didn't trade up to get him. Or did they? Did they trade up to get him? No, they traded up to get Malachi Fields. Anyway, there was some corners on the board, but Pons was one of my favorite prospects in this draft, so I like it.
Yeah, so Connor had Pons at 31 on the board, which is interesting.
Aaron Glenn, probably one of the higher ones, yeah.
Blah, 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 all that stuff. But we, one of the things in our guide is that you get a value assigned to every pick based on where they were slotted on the big board versus where they were taken. And so the goal is to finish zero or better. If you're in the positive, you're doing great, right? And most teams like do finish either zero or below zero. The Jets right now, David Bailey was a -3. Kenyon Sadiq was a 0 on the nose. Omar Cooper was a +12. And D'Angelo Pons was a +19. So right now, the Jets' total value on that is +28, which like really, really good. If they can finish somewhere in that neighborhood, they don't even need to add a lot more to that. If they could just finish in that neighborhood, they're crushing it.
I mean, if you feel like late in the draft, those numbers get weird because the further away from one.
Well, I was going to say
are all over the place.
If you want to juice the numbers, you picked Jermaine McCoy then, right?
Yeah. And then you win. Yeah. Cause he's what? 10, top 10, right?
I think Dane had him at like 14 or something like that. And then the number 2 corner in this draft. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, crazy. That knee must be barbecue chicken. If he's still hanging around at this point, that's unfortunate. Even the kid from Michigan last year, he went at like 47 or something. And it was a similar deal, right? The other corner, it was a similar deal, like degenerative condition in his knee, all that. And he went a lot earlier than this.
Yeah. Will Johnson last year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Will Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on it's after midnight, the degenerative stuff for athletes. When you're talking about like that's scary, terrible stuff.
Scary word.
For like when people are like 50 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like as an athlete, you wonder like you're drafting a guy to play. This sounds terrible because it's like these guys are just assets and all that stuff. But like you really only want, like, you're counting on 4 years of a guy or 5 years of a guy. Like,
and that's like the dark view of it is like, well, if you just view it as an asset and we can get 4 years out of it, we don't need to do a second contract. If you're in a win now position, which the Jets are probably not that team, right? But there has to be some team that's like, hey, we're ready to win. Why don't we take 4 years? And so somebody's going to take him.
He will not be a UDF.
I mean, I haven't heard anything about him being like a bad kid, like at a certain point, like, it's kind of like malpractice and not take him at a certain level. Yeah, so whether you need a corner or not, like just take him and stash him for a year if you need to, like whatever it is. Like,
agreed.
All right. So as for the trade, they pick up number 128. Yeah. So they now go into the fourth round with number 103, 128, 140. So it's going to be fun early on tomorrow, Zach. And then maybe they'll trade some sevens like you're dreaming of.
At least trade the 242 one. Like just like get rid of the very back end one.
You know, we've been talking for a long time about they don't have a third rounder. They don't have a third rounder. And it you felt it tonight, right? Because they pick at 50 and then it's just all these picks and they're just not there. But it will feel a little better tomorrow because of this trade to have these three fourth rounders.
I do think they probably were making Muji kind of like downplayed the question, but I think they were probably talking about getting back in. I don't know who that would have been for. There were some intriguing guys that like made sense to me. Like Emmanuel Pregnon was one that Jets fans I got. Clearly teams do not like him. I mean, he is like 25 years old and maybe that's part of it. There were some receivers that fell further than I expected. I don't have the tracker in front of me, but there were some guys on the board that I think Jets fans would have been happy with if they became Jets. But
Chris Bell went a long way.
Chris Bell went pretty late. AJ Halsey fell pretty far. He's been a popular like Jets guy.
I thought in the moment that the trade from 44 to 50 was indicative that they were 100% definitely trying to move back into the late third round. And when you did the math on flipping one of those 128 or 140, packaging it with 103, the range that was going to get you to was somewhere between 71 and 87, depending on how well they did on the trade. Yeah. So once 87 passed, I was like, all right, well, now we're talking about flipping the seventh rounders to go from like 103 to 98, which is like why even kind of do it at that point unless there's somebody right there that you really love. And so I thought for sure it was a clear sign that they were trying to move back into that like mid third round range. I was surprised when it didn't happen.
Yeah, so just a few of these I'll call out. Like, first of all, Carson Beck going first pick to the Cardinals. Like I think there was probably moments where Jets fans were scared because there was like some buzz before the day started of like the Jets could pick him in the second round. And I was like prepared to destroy them because I haven't used my destroy them muscles in a while. And I was like, I'm ready to go.
Well, Rich had us all on edge, dude.
I know, yeah.
Blame Rich.
So he went there. And then as the draft went along, I'd say like ones that I thought would have made sense for the Jets at varying degrees. Malachi Fields. Giants like traded a future draft pick to get him. Like that was an interesting. They traded a fourth round pick next year, I believe. And they only have like five picks this year. Drew Aller going to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, possibly. AJ Halsey went 78 to the Colts. Let's see who else. Chris Brazel went to the Panthers 83. Ted Hurst went to the Bucks 84. Pregnon went to the Jaguars 88. Jason Barham went to the Cowboys 92, Chris Bell, Dolphins 94. Jennings Dunker, I mostly wanted because great name, great vibes from that guy.
Mullet.
So great mullet. So it would have been cool if they got him. And you bring him in with Wisconsin Waterfall with Joe Tippmann. Like it would have been a nice combo. But
there was a line in our guide about Jennings Dunker that was like when he's run blocking, he looks like a grizzly bear running down a grocery aisle. And I was dying laughing reading it because it's very visual. It's a good description.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Super chat from Jake. What's D'Angelo's superpower?
He is the next Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn has superpowers. So
let's. I know Jake's busting balls there, but for real. This is the greatest opportunity Aaron Glenn has to actually impart wisdom from his playing days on a player. There will never be a player closer to him in measurables than there is with D'Angelo Pons. Like this is the perfect opportunity for him to pass down what he learned in terms of technique. This is how you play this position when you have these disadvantages size-wise. And what you do have is speed, jump, all that good stuff. Like he can pass that down in a way that probably most people couldn't. And so like, this is a really big opportunity for him to coach somebody.
I do think the challenge is that the game has changed since Aaron Glenn was a short cornerback.
For sure.
Like receivers are bigger and stronger and
the rules,
all of that and the rules. Yeah. But still not saying it's like not a great pickup still on that, but it is an interesting how the game has changed for a little guy. Sure. We'll see how he does as far as that goes.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
How about some players for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll run through a list. I have like a best available thing. I'm going to run through a few that I like, and then I'm sure Paul has a short list of his own. I talked about Garrett Nussmeier yesterday. At this point, I think it's pretty good value. I would use the top fourth round pick on him, frankly. I just like him as a developmental backup, especially at that spot. Like, I think Dane's like summary sums it up pretty well. He's an aggressive competitor whose throws can win games and lose them too. It just sounds like a fun backup to me.
Gunslinger, baby.
Sounds like Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, Geno Smith's a gunslinger. So like, mm-hmm. you know, why not roll with it? And the other quarterback, I mean, like there's Cole Payton, there's Taylen Green, her interesting morph because of their athleticism than anything. If you're looking for like traits as a thrower, I'm intrigued by Nussmeier. I'd say running back Jonah Coleman. I like him. If you're going to get a running back, he is small, but he's big. Pretty good pass catcher, I believe. Elijah Surratt, who we talked about. I think you're going to talk about him in a bit. Bryce Lance from North Dakota State, I like. Febuchi Nwayu, I had him in my mock draft. Versatility. Let's see. Sam Hecht, the center. I think Dane has him as the number two center in this draft. Defensive tackle Daryl Jackson from Florida State. Huge dude. Kyle Lewis, linebacker. He's fallen far enough that like he's undersized, but I do like him at this spot at this point. Red Murdoch, great name. And I would say one of the kickers, Trace Mack, one of the other ones.
Yeah, so Skylar Bell, I'd be remiss if not to bring up that he is still there at at pick 100. And so and he's, I think, right now on the remaining big board that we have. Let me check real quick. I think he's number two on the remaining big board behind McCoy. So like at this point, that's not even like it's not even a crazy thing to suggest anymore. So I like Skylar Bell. Connor Liu, arguably the best center in the draft. You could say Jake Slaughter was, but Connor Liu probably only got downgraded and slid this far because of a knee injury. And yeah. So people thought he might go back to school and stay at Auburn for another year, but he's here and he's available. And so that solves an easy problem at 103. Surratt, I like. Again, it's another guy coming from the Indiana team. Might as well keep stacking him at this point. And I get that he was probably the third best wide receiver on Indiana, but he was one of those guys that every time Mendoza needed to get bailed out, he yeah. found a soft spot. Like, he was always just available and there to help. And so I really liked how he plays. I like Schroth. I like Hecht, like those guys that you mentioned. Schroth is an interior offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Mm. So that's my list for 103. When we get down into 128, I like Cyrus Allen as a linebacker. I like Bryce Botcher from, I think he's Oregon. Yeah. Maniac, absolute maniac, plays like an animal. I like Daquan Wright. If you do want to add another tight end, where that room's getting crowded. So we're to the point where if they added another one, it might make life difficult.
Why are you trying to shove Jelani Woods out the door so much?
I don't even know if Jelani Woods exists. He never got on the field last year. He's like, who was that lineman they got from the Rams a couple years ago that just never suited up?
Austin Deculus, that guy, is that you're thinking of?
No. God, this is gonna drive me nuts. I'll think of it before the end of the show. I'm going to wait until I'm not talking, okay. And I'm going to go look for it. Daquan Wright. So like he's more of like a bigger, he's still got all like the athletic yak stuff, but he's like a huge animal that can block too at Ole Miss. Another inside linebacker I like is Jack Kelly. Bo Stevens for an interior offensive lineman. I would like in that 128, 140 range. And then once we get down later, like, there's another player out of Indiana, and I'm kind of belaboring the point at this point, but like this kid, Aiden Fisher, he's a linebacker from Indiana that probably is not going to make it to the 240s, and he's probably an overdraft at 140. So he's going to fall somewhere in the middle range there. The comp I had for him in the guide is that he's got Luke Kuechly's brain in like a less athletic body. But he is like super smart. He is in the right place at the right time, pretty much all the time. And he's super slippery. Nobody can get their hands on him as a blocker. He just kind of like ducks and slithers under blockers all the time. And he finds his way into the holes. So he would be a really serviceable linebacker. And then, yeah, I am still a proponent of taking a kicker. Trace Mack, if he's there, or the Michigan kid, I don't care who it is. Take a kicker.
Do it. Have some fun.
Roger Saffold. I just saw it in the comments. That's the one I'm talking about. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, yeah, he was on the practice squad and everybody was obsessed with why they wouldn't call him up.
Exactly, because he doesn't exist. He's an idea. He's not a person.
By the way, just to circle back real quick to Elijah Surratt, I think Dane said in his guide that his nickname was Waffle House because he's always open, which is a good,
I like that.
It's a good nickname. So, and he's a possession guy, so he actually kind of fits what they need depth-wise. So that'll be fun.
He would be what you wanted Josh Reynolds to be.
There you go.
Do we want to do anything else? We good?
I think we're good. We're going to come back on Monday, right? That's the plan to recap everything.
Yes. I will say this. Monday. I'll say from the fans' perspective, it was a tough start on Thursday night. But you can zoom out now, and with four players after three rounds, I think most fans feel really, really good at this point. And I think you've moved far enough past the Bailey Reese thing, and you've probably talked yourself to the point of, well, if you trusted Carl Dunbar to help with Arvel Reese, you can trust Carl Dunbar to help with David Bailey also. And by the way, he probably had a big hand in the decision to take Bailey over Reese. And so there's a lot of really good tape out there of David Bailey. Specifically, the Oregon game is insane. The Utah game is really bad. He was pretty much invisible in the Utah game. So there's a lot on both sides. You can convince yourself of anything you want to convince yourself of, but the production was real and it happened over the course of an entire season. And so again, tough start Thursday night, but after 2 days, I think most people are feeling pretty good.
All right. We will be back on Monday with the full recap of day three and all those picks. And we'll talk big picture as well in that one. But thanks for everybody for tuning in late. If you did, if you're hanging out with us, otherwise catching up later, and we will talk to everybody very soon on Flight Plan.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.